Welcome to Love You Most, and I swear every episode I say that it's going to be a short episode, and it ends up like not being a short episode. The last few episodes have actually been a lot longer than most, so let me know what you guys are thinking of that. Like, the last episode was 37 minutes, before that it was 40 minutes, before that it was 30, I think it was another 40-minute episode, and then before that was 41 minutes, so yeah, the episodes have been a lot longer than they normally like were in the past. But I told you guys when I started this podcast that I wanted to just really play with, like, I don't know, what I was feeling in the moment. I didn't want to push myself to make something long or push myself to make something short. I just wanted to kind of go with what I was feeling and just like talk about what was on my heart. So let me know over on the Love You Most Pod Instagram what you're thinking of the length, whether you're enjoying it or not. Before we get into the episodes, let's get into some of the reviews that you guys have left. I'm going to check and see if there's any reviews on the Apple Podcast reviews. Make sure you guys are leaving reviews because that's how people find these episodes. And it just means so much to me when I just see your little reviews and your kind thoughts. There aren't any reviews there, but it looks like one of you guys left a review over on Spotify, and I actually leave a little Q&A up every single episode, and the question is always just like, what do you think of this episode? And I feel like it's a very easy way to kind of get like your feedback, so you're more than welcome to go over there too if you ever want to just like leave your thoughts in like a really easy, organic way. And you guys said, for the last episode where I said I was telling you everything that you need to know, you said that you enjoyed this episode. It was fun. And that was from Vonnie Vaughn. So thank you, Vonnie. That means a lot to me. Again, it feels like so weird because every time I pull up a mic, I'm literally just like by myself. Like, I'm not even like with a co-host or anything. So I always love hearing your feedback because the reason I like make these little podcast episodes is just to connect with you guys. So before we get into the episode, I do want to let you guys know that the Q&A box will always be up on Monday on the Love You Most Pod Instagram stories. So whenever you have questions, you guys can leave them there. I feel like that's the easy way for you guys to leave questions, and you can also message me if you guys have a question throughout the week and you like don't have the Q&A box. Let's actually start with the Q&As this week because there's only three of them. So I think it'll be really easy to hop through those, and then we will get into the episode, which this episode I think is a good one. It's all about how to beat the winter blues, which I think is what a lot of us need right now. I've been really deep in the trenches the last, I don't know, probably 2 weeks, like prior to this week. This week has been a really good week, and I think it's because I've implemented a lot of these things. But before that, y'all, I was in the trenches. I was like, man, is this entire winter going to be like this? And then I kind of implemented all the things I'm going to talk about today. And it really pulled me out of the winter blues. So before we get into that, we are going to get into the questions. One of you guys asked how to make social media a career, even if you're shy. I think the thing about social media that we're forgetting is that it's evolving. And so I think that people are more like apt to follow people that create different types of content. So I've seen people who make videos or like take pictures where their face isn't even in it. Like a lot of booktubers, they'll just take a picture of a book, or they'll take a picture or take a video showing like four books that they love, or people who knit, they'll show like different things that they've knit and they won't even put their face in it. They'll just put like music over it and show something that they're really enjoying. I've also seen people who will do voiceovers where they're kind of just like sharing their thoughts, and they'll just have like a carousel or a video of just like nature outside, so you don't even see people in it. So there's really creative ways to like share on the internet now, and I feel like people are just apt to follow people that are creating different types of content because I don't know, it's just the internet's evolving. And I think that as long as you're being your authentic self, I think that you should really lean into what brings you joy. Maybe what brings you joy is gaming, or maybe what brings you joy is nature, or I don't know, maybe nothing brings you joy. And that could be something you talk about too, and how you're trying to find joy, or maybe how you're not trying to find joy and you're just like going throughout the mundane and like that's how you want to live life. Like whatever you want to share, I feel like there's someone out there who wants to like, I don't know, see how your life is. And I also think that we feel like our life is boring because we do the same thing every day. But you also have to remember that none of us have the exact same life. Like, I don't know, even if I have 10 of my friends who live in the same hometown as me, I can guarantee that all of us have a different morning routine, or some of us don't have morning routines, some of us stay up later. We all have different hobbies. We think about different things. And so that's the beauty of just humanity. Like, we're all unique. And so I think when you tap into that uniqueness, it's really easy to connect with people on the internet and make like this into something that you do for a job. So I also have a YouTube video all about that. I think it's called like How I Went to like Full Time as an Influencer. And it's on YouTube. I posted like 2 years ago, but it's still pretty relevant. I posted like right after I went full time in 2021. So you can always go there and watch it, or you can message me and I will send it to you. Send me a message over on the Love Me Most Pod Instagram. I like to kind of keep the messages for the pod over there because I feel like it's easier for me to like sift through. Another question that you asked was, are you going to ever go back or intertwine your old lifestyle videos with your BookTube ones? This is a question I've actually gotten a lot of, and the short answer is no. But the long answer is, I started YouTube in 2018, and so that was literally years ago. I, as a person, have changed so much and just evolved, and I have different interests and hobbies. When I first started it, I would do a lot of like shop with me videos where I would go to like American Eagle and I would do like lots of hauls, and then I would share like our renovation and like all of my like life in that way. And now I feel like I really share my life connected with books. Like, I'll share book shopping and I'll share like what books that I pick out in Target, or I'll share my new TBR cart. Books are just really what is bringing me joy. And I actually made a shift on my Instagram last August, and I actually got a lot of questions like this, very similar to this, in August of last year, because I used to share fashion related content on Instagram. Like, it was solely fashion. I would share like videos of me in outfits with music like over top of it, and I would share like pictures of outfits, and now I share like pictures with kind of like how to, you know, work through trauma, or how to love your body, or like things that I kind of talk about here. And I'll share like 10 tips to do that, or I'll share like reels that have like lots of little videos of my thoughts and how to build friendship and what I'm thinking about and like learning about myself. And my content is so different. And I got a lot of questions from people saying like, hey, are you ever going to go back to sharing fashion content? Because like, that's what I want to see. And I always encourage people to follow people that like bring them joy. But since this is like my job, I also want to do things that bring me joy. And so I started like sharing fashion content in 2019, and I started sharing content on YouTube in 2018. And now I am 31 going on 32. So you can imagine that from age 25, 26 to 31, 32, like in that range, I have changed a lot. Like, I got married at 25. We moved back to my hometown at 25. I was living in my college town when I first started my channel. So much has changed. And so I really hope that like my friendships will follow me along for the journey. And like, who knows, 10 years from now, maybe I won't be talking about anything that I'm talking about right now. Maybe I'll be talking about turtles, or maybe I'll like be talking, like, I literally have no idea. Like, I was talking to someone the other day and I was like, it's so wild that only a few years ago, like 4 or 5 years ago, I was staying out until 2 a.m. every single night. And I was, well, not every night, but like on the weekend, I was like, let's rage, or like, you know, wanting to get dressed up and wear heels and like having a face full of makeup and wearing lashes and getting my nails done. And I was like, I don't know, just had a totally different style, and I was drinking alcohol. And like, now my life looks so different. Like, I swear I dress like somebody's grandma. Like, I'm wearing knitted sweaters and I'm wearing these big chunky sweaters with like large flowy skirts. And I remember thinking, like, when my mom used to wear skirts with like cowboy boots, I used to think that was so ugly. And now I wear that all the time. And I don't really drink very much, and I rarely go out. I mean, I go out maybe a few times like every few months, like, or maybe once every 6 months. Like, I just don't go out a lot, and I'm not getting dressed up very much. I don't get my nails done anymore. I don't wear makeup every day. And I don't even wear makeup to like weddings or anything. And old me would have looked at me and been like, what the heck happened to you? But like, I feel very, very confident in who I am now. And there's nothing wrong with old Shaughnessy. There's nothing wrong with the person I used to be. Nothing wrong with sharing fashion videos or sharing anything like that. And there's nothing wrong with me now either. And I think it's just, I've just changed and I have different interests. And I think, I mean, just from mid-20s to early 20s, you're going to change. And so I didn't really want to stick myself into a box of doing something I wasn't really interested in anymore. And so I hope that you'll still stick around. If you're not really into books, you don't have to hang out on YouTube, but I share so much more on TikTok and on Instagram too. So you can hang out there or you can hear the chats on the pod. I don't know. I also think that I actually created like a little chat on YouTube about this. And it is going up, I think, on Saturday, if I remember. Yeah, I think it's going up on Saturday. And it's going to be in a 24-hour readathon where I'm like reading for 24 hours. Not straight. That's literally wild. But in that video, I'm going to be talking about like why I've shifted from sharing like my vlog style content to like book content. And I think a large part of that that's really been nice is I have moments to myself. And so I'm not constantly sharing everything, which is, I mean, a lot of people probably are like, well, that's your job. Like, don't you love that? And I definitely love it. Like, that's why it's my job. But in any job or any hobby, if you do it 100% all the time of every second of every day and you don't ever take a break, I think it's easy to like get lost and forget like the meaning of life in a way. And I know that sounds like probably weird, but I was sharing so much of my life where literally this year, Brady and I were putting up our Christmas tree. And I was like, this is the first year I have not filmed us in any capacity for TikTok or Instagram or YouTube. I haven't filmed us. I didn't film us at all this year, putting up our tree and like putting up our decorations. And I just like have little moments to myself. And I think that that's really nice. So I don't know, that's a part of why the vlogs are more like focused on one thing versus like everything, because I'm not sharing like renovations and like going on family trips and like all that stuff. I'm just sharing like a portion of my life, and I'm sharing a portion of my life on YouTube and a portion of my life on Instagram and a portion of my life on TikTok and now a portion of my life on the podcast. And I feel like you guys get a large part of my heart where I'm just like sharing and speaking like straight from what's on my mind and what I'm working through. And that can also be a very scary thing because it's very vulnerable. But yeah, so I hope you'll stick around. And the last question that someone asked was, what is your favorite book? I feel like that's such a hard question. That's like asking, like, what is my favorite way to breathe? Like, I don't know. I just, it feels weird to answer that. But one of the questions that someone asked me was like, what was my favorite book in a genre? Not this time, but I think it was in like one of my last Q&As. And I feel like that one's a little bit better. So I really like Never Lie by Freda McFadden. That's probably one of my top thrillers. And then Love in Other Words by Christina Lauren or Before I Let Go by Kennedy Ryan. Kennedy Ryan is a Black author, so that's probably my favorite diverse read. And then Love in Other Words by Christina Lauren is probably like my favorite romance. I don't really have a favorite fantasy because I'm not really big into fantasy, but I'd say those are like top three right now, but those can definitely change because I feel like I change just my thoughts all the time. So yeah, let's get into the episode and like talk about how to beat the winter blues. Like I said, I was literally in the trenches, and I think part of that is because you guys know my dad passed away, and that has been so hard. I actually was wrapping gifts today, and while I was wrapping gifts, I was wrapping Brady's dad's gift. And normally when I wrap gifts, I will put like the name of the person at the top of the gifts, and then I'll put like from Shaughnessy and Brady. And usually for our parents, because we have two moms, we have like my mom and then we have Brady's mom. Usually I'll put Connie, which is Brady's mom's name, and then I'll put like parentheses mom, or I'll put mom parentheses Connie. And then for my mom, her name is Kina. And so I'll put Kina, and her name is spelled K-E-E-N-A, by the way, not Tina, T-I-N-A. A lot of people like mess it up, but anyway, it doesn't really matter. I will put mom and then I'll put parentheses Kina. So while I was wrapping the gifts, I finished Brady's dad's gift. And while I was wrapping his gift, I wrote dad parentheses Brian. And as I was writing, I was thinking like, I don't need to write Brian in parentheses because there's no other dad to write a gift for. And so I got like emotional, which I'm getting emotional now. And I feel like there's waves of like sadness that come from that, just because there's things that I know I'm never going to get back and I'm never going to get to do again. And I almost forgot, like, just little things like that. I don't think about how impactful they are. And then when you can't wrap a gift for your parent, or you can't, you know, see the joy that they get from opening a gift from you or something like that, it just, it feels so small. But then once it's gone, it just feels so big. And so I've had a lot of moments like that where I have gotten a lot of just feelings of sadness. And I think that that is a large part of why the holiday season has just been hard in general. And I was actually at a Hardy concert with Brady. I don't know if I even mentioned this, but while we were at the concert, there was a song that was talking about like raising hell in heaven. And it really got me emotional because I just started thinking about my dad just being up there. Just like he had said before he passed, he was like, whenever I get up in heaven, I'm going to ask Jesus for some tap shoes. And I'm like, Dad, you don't even like dance. Like, and he's like, well, once I get up there, like, obviously I'm not going to be in a wheelchair. Like, I'm going to be mobile. I'm going to be, you know, floating around or whatever. So he's like, I want to get some tap shoes and I want to tap dance up there. And I was like, okay, can you get me a pair? So then it was like this running joke where everyone's like, well, can you get me a pair? And we were asking like the colors and like being like, well, I want a pink pair and I want like a sparkly pair. And so he would ask us all of our sizes. And I was like, I'm a size 9.5. Make sure that I get a 9.5. A lot of the time, like there aren't 9.5 places. Usually people give me a 9, but make sure I have a 9.5. And so, you know, we all just had these like little jokes. And I think that hearing that song really made me emotional, just because I realized just the gravity of like when someone's gone, they're gone. And so if you're going through your first holiday season without someone, whether it's a mom or a sibling, a friend, an aunt, an uncle, a parent, I feel for you and I'm right there with you. And it is not easy at all. And obviously, like, there's waves of sadness, but also there's small things that you don't really realize that matter until they're like gone. And then you're like, wow, that like is a big deal to me. And if you haven't lost anyone and you do have like everyone, you know, here this holiday season with you, take that to heart and really cherish that, because people in your life will not be here forever. And I think sometimes we can feel like people are invincible, but they will not be here forever. We might only have 5 or 10 more Christmases with someone. And so, yeah, that I think has been a large reason why I've just had like the blues the last few weeks. But to get out of the blues, I pretty much just did all of these things and they've really helped me. And the first thing is to find a cozy space indoors to enjoy. And I've actually heard on TikTok a lot of people talking about how important third spaces are. And I totally agree. Third spaces are incredible. And a third space is like something other than your home or work that you can just like go to, that's like relaxing. And I feel like we don't have enough of those. Coffee shops are great third spaces, libraries, bookstores. I'm trying to think of just anything that you can, a place that you can like hang out and just like maybe meet people or just be around people, even if you don't want to like talk to people. So try to find a cozy space that's indoors that you really enjoy. I think the library is a great one that is so underused because it's free and you can actually like rent out little rooms. So you could even take your movies in there if you have like, you know, Netflix on your phone or something, or your laptop, or you can take a book in there or rent a book for free in there, and just like hang out outside of your home. And I think it's easy to like get holed up and just go straight from home to work to home. But I think when we break up that monotony, it makes life a little bit more fun. And another way to beat the winter blues is to move your body. I have not missed one day in the gym. I mean, I haven't went to the gym every single day, but I go 4 days a week and I have not missed those days unless I'm taking Bane to like his chemo appointments, which like I'm doing that tomorrow. So like I won't be at the gym, but I kid you not, it has made such a difference on my mood. I think a large part is also because I love the community that's at my gym. But even if you don't go to a gym, like, I don't know, take a walk, do some cartwheels, like see how many cartwheels you can do in a row. Do a slow yoga flow where you stretch, just like move your body. I think that we get so hung up on like, well, we need to like lift weights, or we need to like run 2 miles or whatever. Any like moving, any way that you move your body is moving your body. Like you don't have to do certain things that like other people suggest to you. You can do whatever works for you. And so think of creative ways to move your body. Maybe take a nature walk, listen to a podcast that you like, or like listen to music outside while you do like a little stretch session that's on YouTube or something, or have a little dance party in your living room. Like just move your body. It'll make you feel so much better. And another way to beat the winter blues is to romanticize the cold. Now, this one I think is probably one of the harder ones, because once it gets cold, it is cold. The other day I was like, I'm going to romanticize the cold. And so I'm going to go to the park. Went to the park, frigid, absolutely frigid. I got out, probably was outside for 5 minutes, and walked my happy little butt right back to the car because it was frigid cold. And I, in my head, was like, well, I'm going to sit out here for like 20 minutes. Literally sat out there for five. I'm not even kidding. It was like 5 minutes. But that 5 minutes felt so good. The sun was on my face. Granted, it was cold, but like there's something healing about nature. I can't even explain it. Just being out in it. And maybe part of it is because like in the cold, when you get outside in the cold and you breathe in the air, it just like makes you feel better. I don't even know. There's got to be some science or something behind it, but it just, you just feel better. And so try to get outside, even if it's cold, and try to romanticize it in the way that maybe like Anne of Green Gables or like somebody in some old timey movie would have. Like, I feel like in Pride and Prejudice or like Little Women or like all these like classic books and movies, like they got outside in the cold. They like didn't care. They're like running around the forest and stuff. And I'm like, I want to be that girl. So, or a guy. And I think that that's something that we should try to take to heart, and romanticizing the cold or even romanticizing at night. It's just easy to like get holed up and just only hibernate. And I don't think that's bad. I think it's like good to also do that as well. But I think we need to have like a balance. And another way to beat the winter blues is to keep a gratitude journal. I do not do this, but I need to do it more, or I need to do it period, because I literally don't do it. But in the past, I used to keep like a tally of things I was grateful for just in my notes, because a gratitude journal sometimes felt a little daunting for me. Like, oh, I got to get it out every day. I got to like write all this stuff. But just keeping like a little notes tab, that works too. Or just being mindful of what you're grateful for, I think is helpful, because we can get into this rut and this like bad cycle being like, everything sucks. We get off work, it's dark, like I get home, I can't hang out with my friends because it's cold. Like we can just get into this bad, like bad festery mindset, and it's easy to spiral. So I think when you keep a list of things you're grateful for, even very, very small, minute things, I actually think that's even better than like just grand scale, but like very, very small things. Like today I'm wearing this sweater that is pink, blue, green, and well, actually it has three different colors of pink and three different colors of green, two different colors of blue, and it has orange. I love this sweater. I've gotten so many compliments on this sweater today. It's making me happy. And someone the other day was like, it's so cool that you wear colors in the winter. And I was like, you know what? It is actually cool. Like it makes me happier just like looking at the colors. And that is something that I'm grateful for. That's a very, very tiny, minute thing, like just the colors in my sweater. But I think when we think about those small things and we just like add up all these small good things, it makes us in a better mood. And another way to beat the winter blues is to start a new hobby. And this one's easy, because I can tell you 50 million hobbies that I want to start that I don't have time for. And I think just starting one or two totally changes the game, because then you realize like, I really don't have a ton of extra time. Like I'm not bored. Like I'm doing puzzles, or I am reading books, I'm playing games, I am like doing indoor gardening and like making some herbs, or like, you know how people do those, what are they called? They'll propagate from like one pot to another. I know nothing about plants. I'm just doing my best here, okay? But like everyone has their own little hobbies, and I feel like it's easy for us to just stick to one thing, but there's a million and one hobbies that we could try. You could start knitting. You could try, I mean, this is the time, like everyone's inside. All these hobbies, I feel like that a lot of people want to do, like cooking and stuff, a lot of them are inside. So this would be a great time to start. And I think it's also a great way to like not be bored in the winter, and it makes life just feel more exciting because you're trying something new. And another way to beat the winter blues is to make plans with your friends. I really encourage you to do this, but I think the easiest way to do this is actually during the week and right after work. And the reason I say that is because sometimes the week goes by, it's stressful, stressful, stressful. The weekend comes and we're like, man, I haven't seen any of my friends all week, so let me try to hang out with three of them. But actually, I'm super tired. Actually, my house is dirty. Actually, you know, a million and one excuses. So then when Saturday comes around, we just feel so overwhelmed. We're like, we haven't hung out with them, but also I don't really feel like it because I'm tired. I think the easiest way to hang out with friends is tell your friends, hey, let's hang out at work after work at 5:30 at a coffee shop. Something super easy, super chill. And one of you guys actually asked me a question over on Instagram, like my personal Instagram, because I posted something about how I want friendships who are like high maintenance. Like I don't really want low maintenance friendships anymore. Like I want friends who put in effort. And if you're not going to put in effort, like, so sorry, that's not what I'm looking for. Not that low maintenance friends are bad. Like I think that there is a time and place. And I think I do give my friends like grace if they are maybe going through hard things and like they don't have the capacity to like show up. Totally understand that. But for me personally, in my life right now, I'm a very high maintenance friend, meaning that I do want to hang out a lot and I do want to like talk a lot. And we don't have to do all of those things. Like I'm not texting you every day and asking to hang every day. But like, I'm doing probably one of those things with you. Like my friend Alex, we literally text every day. I'm not kidding you. Me and my friend Taylor, we don't text every day, but we do hang out usually once or twice a week for like a long time, like usually like 3 hours each time. So like every friend has something different that I do with them that is like quote unquote high maintenance. But like, those are just the friendships that I'm looking for in my life right now. And I had like a message from one of you guys and you were like, hey, how do you have high maintenance friendships? Or I think the question was like, do you have any high maintenance friendships with people who have kids? That was the question. And the answer was yes. And I think the reason why it's easier for those parents, and I don't know because I'm not a parent, but I think it's easier. I'm not saying it's easy, but easier for those parents for us to hang out is because we have very low maintenance hangouts. Which is still, I mean, hanging out is a high maintenance thing. Just like it takes time. You have to like set it on the calendar. And she was saying that her and her friend, they text all the time. They talk on the phone a lot, but they don't hang out a lot. And then I said, well, I still see that as a very high maintenance friend because even if you're not hanging out a lot, you're still in constant communication in some way. And so high maintenance can look different to everyone, but for me, I was saying that whenever we do hang out, which is not the only way to be high maintenance in a friendship, but it's one way that I do like really appreciate. One thing that we do when we hang out is we make it as low maintenance as possible. We'll get coffee in like our sweatpants. Like we're not like dressing up for this, or we'll go like have a picnic for dinner instead of like eating at home. Like we'll just get like a pizza or something. I'm trying to think of like some of the stuff that we'll do that's like super low maintenance. Sometimes we'll paint, where I'll get like some paints, and I have this basket. It's actually been full of paints for probably like 2 years at this point. And there is like construction paper and stuff in it. So it's already in there. And then I just take the basket with me pretty much every time we go on like a picnic. Super easy because it's already there. So I just pick up the basket and then go, and I have like a blanket and throw it on the ground. So I'm not doing anything that's like really, really hard. And I think that doing things like that, that make the friendship hang fun, but it's like very low maintenance. I think that it makes it a lot easier than being like, hey, let's dress up, do our makeup, wear heels, get a reservation and like go eat at dinner and like have $100 meal. You know what I mean? Because you obviously can't do that often. So it makes it a lot harder to hang out. So making plans with friends is definitely something that's important, but try to make plans with friends that are maybe like obviously willing to hang out, but maybe like shorter hangouts or just like right after work. I feel like it makes hangouts just a little bit easier and less daunting. Another way to beat the winter blues is to get outside in nature each day, which this is something that I kind of already touched on a little bit, but I want to like really hone in on it. I think that this is the biggest reason why I have like why I didn't get the winter blues last year. Truly, like it was the first year that I've ever not gotten the winter blues last year. And I genuinely think it was because every day I would get out and watch the sunset, or I would try to watch the sunrise on the weekends, or I would take a nature walk through the Memorial Gardens near our area. I would just do something outside. And even if it was only for 5 minutes when I'm watching the sunset, or taking a cold, chilly night walk when it's literally pitch black out, there's something about getting outside. I do think part of it is it like really breaks up your day and you're not like inside looking at the same like four walls around you, but there's just something magical about being outside in nature. So I really think that helps to beat the winter blues. And another way to beat the winter blues is to take a break from the news. I think that the news can be very, very like triggering just to, I don't know, our, what's it called? Our, I'm patting my heart right now because I know there's a word for this. I just cannot think of what it is. But I feel like it's just really triggering to us and cannot, like, it can keep us from being calm because, I mean, no one is really reporting happy news. It's always like something bad is happening. And I rarely watch the news. I usually will read articles to like keep up with just like what's going on in the world. But watching the news, like watching things that are happening that are hard, I feel like can be very triggering, especially if you're going through something stressful or hard already. So take a break. Doesn't mean you have to stop forever, but take a break or set limits. Maybe instead of watching the morning and evening news and scrolling on TikTok and like trying to see like what's happening in the world or scrolling articles and like doing all that, maybe set a limit of like, I'm going to watch the news for 30 minutes. That's it. 30 minutes a day or 30 minutes a week or 10 minutes a week, like whatever you think that you need. I think that we need to allow ourselves to have that permission because it feels like, I don't know, overwhelming sometimes when things are constantly happening that are bad. And I think when we're constantly taking that in, it feels like the world is bad, which it's not. There's just a lot of bad things happening, but there's a lot of good happening in the world too. And another way to beat the winter blues is to go on a solo date. Y'all know I talk about this so much. Like I literally don't shut up about solo dates, and it's because they are important. One of you actually asked me on my personal Instagram, what's a good way to go on a solo date if you are like kind of nervous to do things by yourself? And I would say try to do something that's really low stakes. Like you don't have to go to dinner by yourself or go to a movie by yourself or take a solo trip. Like those are really big things that can be really scary, but try doing something small, maybe like walk around the park by yourself or walk in the mall by yourself or go to a coffee shop by yourself. I don't know if that seems daunting. If that feels daunting, do something a little less daunting than that. Like maybe go outside in your backyard by yourself. Like maybe that is something that feels like a little weird because you normally just do things with other people. Try doing that or try like walking in your neighborhood by yourself. Just starting small, I think, will get you used to doing things alone. And then you'll feel more comfortable to go and do more and more things that feel like a little daunting. They'll feel a little less daunting. So those are all the things that have really helped me beat the winter blues and have kept me in a better headspace this year. I'm hoping that I can keep with these things because literally two weeks ago today, I was in such a different headspace and now I'm feeling like definitely better, but I just want to keep up with these things so I continue to feel this way. And let's get into our little book chat before I kind of sign off here. I have been loving thrillers lately. I don't know what it is because I really haven't been in a thriller mood up until like right now this month. And I wonder if it's because it's like right before Christmas and I've been reading like these sappy Christmas books, which I haven't even really been in the mood for. And then all of a sudden, like it was just the week of Christmas or the week before Christmas. And I was like, you know what? I want to read 10 Christmas books. And so I've been reading Christmas book after Christmas book after Christmas book, but adding in thrillers, I feel like has been a good balance because thrillers are kind of like, ah, the world is terrible. People are terrible. And then I read these fluffy Christmas books. I'm like, ah, the world is great. Like the world is a Hallmark movie. So I think they're a great balance, but I read Everyone Here is Lying. I think that's what it's called, by Cherie Lapina. Loved that book. I rated it 4 stars and it was such a great thriller. And I think it's because I couldn't guess the ending, which is very rare. And I also feel like there were so many people that the bad like person could have been. And that rarely happens in books. I feel like there's usually like 2, maybe 3 people that could be like the bad guy. And you kind of like have an idea of who it might be. This book, literally everybody could have been bad, like every single person. And so I definitely recommend that book. I also think that just Sri Lapina's books in general are good, like The Couple Next Door, Stranger in the House. Those are other books that I've read by that author, and they're very, very fast paced. There isn't usually a crazy twist at the end, but they're so fast paced that I feel like they keep you really, really engaged. I also have recently finished Never by Jessa Hastings. That book, I was so like excited for it, and I read it and did not really like it. Like, it was okay. I love her writing because she wrote obviously the Magnolia Park series, but that book, I was just like, what is going on? Like, I'm not really rooting for anybody. Like, I'm not really invested in any relationship. The ending was so weird to me. That book really was a big letdown because I have been so excited for it, but it did make me even more excited for Into the Dark, I think this was called. It comes out in February, which is the last like Magnolia Park's book. And then I think there's one more Daisy Hates book, maybe two. But I'm excited for it because I forgot how much I love her writing. And so her writing is very lyrical, very poetic, but it doesn't feel like poetry. It just feels almost like someone's writing a journal entry. I love, absolutely love her writing, and I cannot get enough of it. And I'm trying to get all my friends to read Magnolia Parks, like in the whole series, because I need people to talk about it with, because I swear that whole series feels like Gossip Girl and I cannot shut up about it. Also, Alex was texting me today, and if you don't know who Alex is, she's like a longtime friend of mine. We've been friends since I was like 10 or 12 or something like that, and I recently got into reading books like 3 months ago. So she's like been on this like wild adventure of just like falling in love with books, which makes me so happy. And she was saying that the next book comes out from Kennedy Ryan in March, the one that's after Before I Let Go, which Before I Let Go was a 5-star read for me. And she was like, hey, it's coming out. I think that we should read it together. And I was like, actually, I think I'm getting an arc. And I don't know if I've even like mentioned this anywhere because I just am so nervous. I'm gonna like jinx myself, but I think an arc is coming my way. Like, I literally think that it is. I'm not 100%. I mean, their team said that it's coming, but like until it's in my hand, I don't believe it. But Kennedy Ryan actually had a little like weekend, I don't want to say deal, but kind of, where you could actually read her recent book on Kindle. But because I knew I was going to get an ARC, I didn't read it on Kindle. But now I kind of wish that I did, because I'm like, if I had read it on Kindle, I could have literally just reread it again in a physical copy. So many of you guys have already said that the book is incredible. And now I'm like getting FOMO because I'm like, I should have read it, but we'll see. Obviously, a physical copy to me is just going to be like so nice to write in. But then again, I have my Kindle Scribe, so I literally could just like write in that. So I think that's like all that I have for a little book chat. There really isn't much else to say. I'm trying to think of like other books that have like really been on my front of mind. I do know that the author who wrote On Rotation, I think her name is like Shirlene or something like that. If you type in On Rotation, it'll come up, but she is coming out with a new book, and it's called Between Friends and Lovers, and it comes out July 30th, 2024. The book looks so good. It looks incredible. I read On Rotation and rated it 4 stars and really enjoyed that book, but it had more of a subplot of romance and it was more like fiction. And this is supposed to be like heavy on the romance, and I cannot wait. She did this little like graphic on Instagram that got me really excited for it. And she's very talented with like art and stuff. And she did like this little art thing. And it got me so excited. So, she didn't even release that book was coming out until like a couple weeks ago, which I feel like so many other authors have released like their summer releases already. Like, they've released when they're gonna have it come out and stuff, but she like recently released it. So no one even knew that it was coming, and it shook me, shocked me, excited me. So yeah, that's definitely going to be something that's on my TBR, which is something to be read. And yeah, that's all for our little book chat. Let me know if you guys enjoy the book chat. I can take it out if you guys don't like it. I feel like I talk about books everywhere, but if you're not a big book person, maybe you don't like hearing the book chats. But I love talking about books, and I also love like answering your questions, which is why we have the Q&A section. So if you don't like that, let me know. We could also take that out. I want this space to be a space you guys really enjoy. And I feel like, I don't know, just sharing in lots of different ways is a fun way to connect with all of you. So I love you most. more than anyone you know. Well, maybe not, but I love you a lot, and I hope you guys have a good day. Bye, guys.